I think that's the really fun part about email as a medium is it still feels personal because it's showing up in your personal inbox or your work inbox. So even just like the framing of like, what is this? It's like, it's for you. And so as you're reading it, you kind of think about it in a different way versus reading a blog post, because a blog post is open to everyone, whereas that email is just sent to you.
You're listening to Content Logistics, a podcast for B2B marketers looking to build a content engine that drives revenue. In each episode, Camille Trent interviews the marketers behind the best content marketing flywheels and uncovers the tactical aspects of content production from first draft to first customer.
Stuart, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Camille.
Yeah. No, I know it's been like a long time coming, and was like, I really need you to come on the show. And then, I just like don't set a date. I don't commit. So we finally committed here because I found the topic. I found what we needed to talk about. And it's newsletters, right? So you have a pretty strong background even before you joined Mutiny as head of content in newsletters and in just, I think, audience growth. So if you just want to kind of give a brief background for folks so they know what's your content specialty, you know, how do you think about content marketing?
Totally. My foot in the door into marketing, like my undergrad was in forestry. So like my background was not in marketing, but my foot in the door was starting my own podcast. So I would just, you know, reach out to people on LinkedIn and blindly ask them to join a podcast. And I would be furiously reading Seth Godin books to try and find like questions or like, what is marketing? So I can actually sound smart on this call. And I would just reach out to random marketers and kind of record the conversations and then turn them into LinkedIn posts. So I guess my starting point was like organic social, if we're going to call it that. And from a writing perspective, I always kind of saw myself as more of a writer than anything else. And yeah, over time, that kind of got me a gig at Customer Camp, which is like an audience research company. And Caitlin Burgoyne, the founder there, wanted to like really get a newsletter going because she had the Twitter audience and she had like a product. And she had consulting, but she needed something to tie the two together. And so we came up with a concept of her newsletter, which is Why We Buy. And so it's like really snackable, like examples of psychology in practice of what is going through people's heads as you're marketing to them, or they're reading your stuff, or they're consuming your brand. And so that was a really fun project just to like get off the ground. And from there, then joined Demand Curve, which was a much more established sort of newsletter business that also had courses and products that they would sell. And then eventually they got into, you know, in newsletter advertising as a line of revenue. And so, yeah, I guess my background was sort of like I was at newsletter companies, but I wasn't necessarily in charge of the newsletter ops of like generating revenue through ads or partnerships, but more on the writing side of like, what are we going to put out this week? What are some topics and how can we kind of like improve the writing and the content part of it? And now I find myself at Mutiny where I lead content. So we're still a super small team. So I still have my hands in all the content things, but I definitely started with written content as sort of my forte. And I'm now experimenting with video, which is going, which has been really fun. But also I just feel like a total amateur when I get into it, but happy to share more about that.
No, you've done so much more video than I have already. So yeah, I feel like it's not just like dipping your toes. You like going head first and it's, yeah, it's going well. Okay. Well, two things I want to touch on there was that I think it's interesting that you kind of got that start with newsletters by, you know, you're a good writer, you knew how to like write content, but then you're working for a company that kind of like specializes in like customer psychology, right? And like getting in the minds of the customers and like a lot of things that are really important for copywriting, which is helpful for packaging that content and distributing that content, right? So I think like the combination of like those two things really make for like a strong, you know, email marketer, just marketer in general. So yeah, I think that'll come into play here.
It was really weird too, because I'd be researching a topic as I'm writing it, like some type of like psychological, you know, trigger or something like that. And as I'm writing my email, I'm like, wait, I'm like doing that to myself and to the readers. And so I think that's the really fun part about email as a medium is it still feels personal because it's showing up in your personal inbox or your work inbox. So even just like the framing of like, what is this? It's like, it's for you. And so as you're reading it, you kind of think about it in a different way versus reading a blog post, because a blog post is open to everyone, whereas that email is just sent to you, you know, you and whoever else is on the list. And so I find email a really fun medium because you can be a little cheeky and break the fourth wall and say, see what I did there, and or, you know, look for this, and you can kind of point out what you're doing within the copy. And so I find that is like a really just interesting dynamic that you can have with your readers through email.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Just working in MarTech and sales tech in general is fun because you basically get paid, especially in content, right? Because you get paid to get better at your job, like as you're doing it, right? Yeah. Like you're researching this stuff and then you're like, wait, I'm not doing that in this newsletter right now. Yeah. I should probably fix that.
Yeah, totally.
And so it's a nice little growth loop. All right, so we'll dive into it. So when you joined Mutiny as head of content, they were doing email to some extent, but it was more product marketing, right? Like it was like for product launches for the most part. So where did you see opportunity for a newsletter or for maybe just for email in general when you came in? And then how did you think about just early stage, what the newsletter could be? What was the purpose of it?
When I joined about a year and a half ago, they had, you know, a segmented list within their database that was like opt-in newsletter readers. And at that time, it was like, you know, a couple thousand just passive subscribers of people as they join. They're like, yeah, sure, I'll join the newsletter, whatever. And at that point, I think they were sending the occasional product email. And they also weren't producing a whole lot of content at that point because they didn't have a full-time content person. And so there was, you know, whenever they ran a blog post, it was actually, you know, a pretty rare occurrence. So I think they sent emails being like, hey, we've got a new blog post. Here's what it's all about. So, you know, pretty standard stuff that like most startup companies would have is like, they think from the beginning, yeah, you know what? Why would we not? Like, it's free. Let's just add a newsletter segment to our CRM. Cool. When I joined, I was like, okay, what can I do that I can like really own as my first project at the company that I can uniquely do myself and doesn't require any outside, you know, assistance, and I can really kind of like earn my stripes here. And so I saw we have the ingredients. I just need to put the content together. So I just started writing a newsletter. I created, you know, the format of what I wanted it to look like based on what previous experiences had looked like, what kind of hook you wanted at the beginning, what styles you wanted it to be in, how many links, like, is it readable? Is it a long one? Is it a short one? Are there partners involved? Is there advertising? You know, all these questions you can go through that you see in most newsletters. I kind of got to build it from the ground up. And so since then, it's, you know, evolved quite a bit. It's gone from being, you know, just a pet project of like, yeah, I'll just own this thing. And it's kind of what I get to be known for within the company to now I go to conferences and I'll be meeting people and they'll look at my name tag. They're like, oh, I read your newsletter. So it's become quite a bit bigger than me, which is really interesting and exciting. But in terms of like where it came from, it just started because I decided it should start.
Nice. Yeah. No, I mean, sometimes it's just, it's not, when we say gut, but like gut really means like it's based in data. It's just like the data that you've been collecting in your brain through your experiences through life, right? So you're like, I've seen this work. And I think I know how to make it work here, right? And that seemed like, you know, the best fit for like highest potential project that you could sort of like take on. So to back up into just like the newsletter ecosystem or just SaaS in general, B2B, like what are the best growth moves that you can do? The last few years have either been like newsletters are everything because of things like Morning Brew and, you know, the $75 million acquisition to Business Insider. That's really kind of like perked us all up to like, oh, like we should probably do a newsletter. Like that seems like a good idea to this idea of like a business newsletter, B2B newsletter. But then also like, you know, you have these other channels like organic social, like text message marketing, right? Like these emerging channels. And so it's like email, like really, like that's the thing that we're going to do, like the age old email. And so there's kind of just been like this talk of like, are newsletters dead or are they not dead? But I think that there are a lot of like valuations, there are acquisitions that make for a good case. So I mentioned Morning Brew, The Hustle is somewhere rumored to be like between like 25 and 30 million for HubSpot. And then you've got things like that are kind of in between that are like Substack, right? Where it's like this like new age of email, Patreon, which like has this kind of like subscription model built into it to help you like monetize. So there's all these kind of like new things emerging, but that was a lot of these happened in like 2020, 2021, right? So like, you know, the peak of B2B SaaS, which has since been
somewhat stumbled.
Yeah, like somewhat in question. Like there's a bit of a bubble effect there, right? Because of like the pandemic. So is it still that valuable? Like which companies, which B2B SaaS companies do you think should pursue an email? And kind of at what stage do you think it's appropriate?
I've got a couple of things to say there. One is it's still an expectation that every employee logs into their email and can be reached by their email, right? So for that reason, of course, email is still a valid channel. Like we all still open our emails every day. So therefore, good to go. Doesn't mean I read every email. Doesn't mean I respond to every email in time. But that channel is still an easy way to get a hold of people. And it's free, essentially. So that's first thing. Second thing, being at a SaaS company with a newsletter, I have sort of the benefit of not needing to make I don't have to monetize the newsletter. Like the newsletter is a free offering, a free product that the company gives out. We make money when people buy our software, right? So that in terms of like the business model is totally different versus like The Hustle or Morning Brew. They make money through advertising and, you know, partnerships and things like that, and like affiliate marketing and stuff like that. So I don't know what, you know, I can't value what our newsletter is worth because I don't care, because I don't sell ads. Same thing with like Substack is like, unless you're trying to monetize it, the real benefit of that email newsletter is you just have sort of a direct line of communication with the people who care enough and have raised their hands high enough that they're like, yeah, I'll give up my, you know, this private piece of information, my email, so that I can hear from Camille every time she wants to talk to me. That's great. But it's also easy for them to shut it down and say, unsubscribe, I'm done. But it's no problem because it didn't cost anything for me to acquire you. And now it doesn't cost anything for you to cancel. So in terms of like the newsletter bubble, maybe it's harder to be a media brand today than it was 5 years ago, 3 years ago, because advertisers are a little more hesitant to put money through paid channels. I don't know. I don't really work in those businesses right now, but I know that every company who is trying to reach an audience should have some way of doing that. And I think that email newsletters are still like a terrific way to do it. And is a no-brainer in my opinion, that if you're creating content, you should allocate some of that time to create a newsletter as well, because it acts as the distribution, but also it is the product. That your content can be packaged in a way that email becomes your one shot a week to get in the mind of your buyers and like tell them the thing you want them to know about. Recently, I was watching on a flight home, I was flicking through all the movies on the channel, and there was a documentary called Dear Rider. And it kind of caught my eye because it had a snowboarder on it. And the subtitle was like the story of Jake Burton, the founder of Burton Snowboards. And if you're a skier or a snowboarder, you've for sure heard of Burton. I think they're like the biggest snowboard brand now in the world. And so I started watching the documentary, and he's kind of known for being one of, you know, snowboarding was invented by a lot of people, apparently. Like it was an idea that had been around for quite a while. But Jake Burton was one of the pioneer grandfathers of snowboarding and was the face of an entire new sport. And one of the things that he did really early on and kept doing throughout like his entire life was he would write a yearly letter, and they would publish it in the Burton magazine that was just all cool photos of people doing wicked stuff on snowboards, having fun in the snow, wearing Burton gear. But it was mostly about the culture. Like the whole magazine was about the culture. And so the thing that he did that I found genius, and it kind of connected the dots in my head of what this is what newsletters are, is at the beginning of every magazine, he would have a letter from Jake, and it was like his thing that he would write. And it started with Dear Rider. And the whole page was him describing the state of snowboarding at that moment in time and describing how much fun it is to be in the snow and how great it is to have the freedom to go wherever you want to go and ride that fresh piece of powder and do it with your friends. And at the end of the day, you all hang out and you're just like having a great time, having some drinks with your friends and, you know, just being at one. And every year he would write this, you know, it's still saying the same thing. It's saying snowboarding's great. Isn't it great that snowboarding exists? Oh, by the way, you should probably buy our stuff. He didn't say it that way, but he was like invoking this emotion of like, isn't snowboarding amazing? Don't you want to do more of it? Don't you want this to become your lifestyle? And lo and behold, the next page you flip over is rad people doing super cool things wearing Burton gear. So he never tried to do it to sell more gear. He did it to grow the sport. And that's sort of what I see newsletters being as a really valuable channel for every software company or any company in general. You stand for something. Like, you need to have a point of view in the world and you need to believe in that. And that is your whole strategy. Your strategy is just, what do you believe that makes you unique? And so from that angle, I think of my newsletter not as a way to dump a whole bunch of links of fresh blog posts that we've written so that I can pad my stats and, you know, create pipeline. Yes, that's, you know, a byproduct, but the real goal I have with it is to like move the culture forward and be a constant drumbeat of like, here's how we see the world. If you want to do business in this way, follow along. And if you want to do it, you know, at the highest level, you might want to consider using Mutiny or whatever product you or company you work for. And so that's sort of my view on newsletters is, don't think of them as like a distribution channel or like a way of getting your stuff out there. Reframe it as thinking about it as like the letter from the editor. You know, when you open up a magazine, there's a first page of like, the editor is just sharing, here's how I see the world today. Oh, and here's a bunch of cool things that my writers did this month. You know, you're opening the magazine. So you're already like bought into, oh, I know that I'm like going to buy this magazine. But they're doing it in a way that is just like, gets you excited to even be like considering reading this. Yeah. So that was sort of a new thing that happened this week when I watched that movie. I was like, oh, that's such a cooler way to describe what newsletters are than like, oh yeah, it's like a means to get access to my ideal customer persona. It's like, no. I'm building a narrative around our category and like what we believe in. And if you believe with us, you'll read every week, hopefully, and you'll stay subscribed for as long as that email is valid.
Yeah, I love that. There's a lot of gold there. And so to go through it, email is not just a tactic, right? Newsletters are not just a tactic, at least when they're the most effective, they're not, right? And content marketing in general, like when done best, it kind of connects like growth marketing and product marketing, which I consider like the two other like, you know, big forms of marketing where you have positioning, right? I think about product marketing as like your positioning, your category, like what you believe in, all that. And then there's sort of like growth marketing, which is like largely distribution, right? It's like, how do we get that information, get that content of positioning, like to the people who care about it, right? To the people that we're trying to reach and stuff and bridge that gap. And content, when done well, like helps do that, especially a newsletter, because you're like, okay, we have these two things. We have the people, we have like the audience that doesn't really exist yet, but we have like people that we want to talk to and that we think like, you know, believe in this mission too. And then we have our mission, we have our category. Whether or not you're building a whole new category or not, it's still just getting on the same page of like X, Y, and Z like is broken, right? Or like this could be better. There's like a new way of doing things. And so email can act as like a good bridge kind of like between those things. And so I think this is like a perfect way to kind of like segue into, there's the media model. You touched on this. There's this thing where, okay, if you're Morning Brew, you know, like you're going to make your money through ads, right? If you're an actual like media company, you have a media model. And so a lot of times, like as marketers, we oversimplify it by saying like every B2B SaaS company should be a media brand or will have a media brand. And I believe that, like, I believe the sentiment behind it, but I think sometimes we oversimplify it to the extent where it can be harmful, right? Because ultimately, if you're a B2B SaaS company, like your job is to sell a product, right? It's to sell software. That's primarily like how you're going to make your revenue. That's how you've said in your business plan that you're going to make revenue. Yeah. So either you are a smaller company, or you're a larger company. And if you're a larger company like HubSpot, who's buying The Hustle, right? Like then it makes sense to be like, okay, we're paying a ton of media companies for ad space. Why don't we just own a media company, right? And then we have like our own channel, basically. You're at the point where you can buy a channel, basically. You can buy your own media company. So that's one strategy. There's a lot of like acquisition kind of like strategy farther down. But then early on, you really need customers, like you need some revenue, like you need, or at least you need like a plan to get there. So right before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about, I don't want to say like funnel, but ecosystem was the word that you used, right? So what's like the larger ecosystem that like the newsletter falls into? So if you want to just like talk a little bit about like where you see, you know, the Mutiny newsletter kind of like fitting into the Mutiny ecosystem and like how you create like a positive roadmap or environment for customers or just anyone who wants to learn about, you know, conversion marketing. Mm-hmm.
I see the newsletter as, you know, the first group or the first circle of people who are like, yeah, I'll raise my hand a tiny, tiny bit to like learn more, but I'm definitely not ready to buy. Therefore, I'm not, you know, I'm not booking a demo. I'm just signing up for your newsletter, right? So that's the first circle of like owned audience is people just like, yeah, let's see what this is all about. And that's great. I'll just continue to publish weekly. And as that list grows and more people know about it, more people read it, you know, that's great. We're kind of building goodwill and new people who at least see Mutiny in their inbox. Maybe they open it, maybe they don't, but at least I'm like, you know, actively in their space. The next layer that we're building within our ecosystem is then our community. So this is where you can take it from an offline relationship of like a one to many, where I'm one writer sending it to many people, to more of like a one to few or one to one basis, where now it's like, now there are threads going on this Slack community where you can get a hold of me directly and we can have a chat. Or you can talk to other people who are in exactly the same role as you at exactly the same stage, who have the exact same problems, and you guys can shoot the shit and learn from each other and figure it out. We also have like facilitated roundtables where we can bring in subject matter experts who maybe are two or three steps ahead of you, and they can turn backwards and show you how they did it and talk it through. And everyone kind of like comes out of it with new ideas and direction on what to do next. We're by no means the only people who have communities, and there's tons of marketing communities out there. But I think that loop between, you know, your newsletter being, here's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on and here's a whole bunch of ideas. If you're ready to talk about this at a more granular level, in one step, you can get to that level and you can be directly connected to other people. And I don't need to facilitate that anymore. That's happening naturally and organically because we brought the right people together who will naturally get along together. And so that becomes our community side of things. But we also run, you know, in-person events and we have meetups and things like that. And so that becomes sort of the third pillar of ecosystem. So it becomes content, community, and events. And events is where you can magic, like the magic of in-person stuff really takes shine, where you aren't just, you know, sitting there at your computer being like, yeah, okay, whatever, that's a cool blog, I'll maybe read it later. You're having conversations like these that are really animated and fun with the people who you might have seen their icon on LinkedIn for the last 3 years, and you finally meet them in person. You're like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like I've learned a lot from you, or I want to learn more from you. Like I've been going to a lot more conferences in the last 6 months, and the connections and the relationships you build from just a weekend or like a few days at an in-person event is just like so much deeper than anything you can create online. And so that's why I think showing up as a brand at in-person activations, whether they're your own that you're hosting, but you don't need to host them on your own because they can be expensive and they can be time consuming if you have a really small team. So what we did early on is you can also piggyback and partner on doing events with other brands that are like, that overlap an audience, but aren't competitive. I think that's the best way you can kind of like early on find these relationships of like, you know, we're selling to similar people and we're not at all competitive. Let's just pool our resources. Let's pool our time. Let's pool our databases and let's do these in-person events. And that's a really great way to get started. And then over time, it can evolve and become something a little bit more serious. So that is the virtuous cycle of the ecosystem. And in terms of like where these people are coming from and how we're attributing it, it doesn't matter. All three of those are ways in. And once you're in, I can just send you to all the other ones. It's like, oh, you came to a webinar, but you didn't know we had a community. Great. Let's get you in the community. Oh, you haven't read our newsletter yet. Let's get you up for that. And it kind of creates a circle of like, once you know about the ecosystem and you're in the ecosystem, there's just things in every format that you can imagine and you can pick and choose which stuff is, you know, resonates best with you. And then the circle that's even tighter within that is now like Mutiny customers. And these are, you know, whether you're a new customer or an old customer, that's like the most tight-knit group, because they're all solving the same problems and they're all doing it at a really high level. And they're also, they also have this common tool that they can all talk about and share notes on of how they're using it. And that's hugely valuable from a marketing standpoint of like, oh, cool. I didn't know that I didn't know people could do that with Muni, because we just launched some AI features, and that's still just a new thing that we don't even know how to, like, it just exists and people are figuring out ways of using AI that didn't exist last week. So our customers are actually teaching us how to use our product, the AI within our product, because this stuff has never been done before. And so that's a really unique marketing angle of allowing your customers to kind of show you how to use it. And then you record that and say, wow, that's amazing. Can I share this with the community? And I turn back around and that becomes, you know, the next newsletter that comes out. So that's a really exciting thing. And then also having customers rubbing shoulders with your community members is just really great, because they'll sell on your behalf and they'll say, oh, I used to have that problem, and then Muni helped me solve it. And so that's sort of how the ecosystem and those three functions that sometimes work separately, like in the past we had content and community and events were like three different programs that were happening in their own lanes. Sure, there was like a little overlap. Like I would take the recordings and try and turn them into a written blog post, but there wasn't really any like connective tissue of how do we move an audience member from one medium to another and back again if they want it, and creating these areas of, you know, new idea exchanges. And so we're really excited with the new ecosystem play that we're running and how we're building it, so that people can really get as deep or as shallow as they want, but there's tons of opportunity for them to engage with others who are doing the same stuff.
Yeah, nice. No, you're really just getting closer to a two-way conversation, right? Like mm-hmm. with a newsletter, it's more one way, but like you can do things in the newsletter. You spoke earlier about breaking that fourth wall, right? Like speaking directly to a person, like as you're writing a letter to a person, right? So it's a little bit different than other channels. And so it can be a little bit more intimate. But then, yeah, in the next stage, you're connecting other people, right? It's like, okay, now you can talk directly to me, for one, but you can also just talk directly to your other peers. So that's great, but it's still virtual. And then you have events, but then you're seeing people in person. And it's just like, it's a different level of connection that you just don't get virtually. And so it makes sense that you're just getting, you're getting closer and closer to your audience, to your customers, right? And so it makes sense that would be the natural progression. And then the other thing that stood out to what you said is, they recognize your name, right? So by the time that you're going to these events, like sales has been paying for these trade booths and conferences and things, like tons of money for forever, right? In B2B, this has always been a thing. But what if you went to a conference and you're not the CEO of Salesforce, but people know your name, like people want to talk to you, right? Like imagine being a marketer or salespeople that people want to talk to, absolutely. during a conference, right? Because you've been providing value around or along the way, right? Or because you have sounded human along the way, and now there's proof that you are in fact a real human that may or may not be just a little bit AI powered at this point.
I still haven't been able to figure out how we use AI for a number of content workflows, but I have yet to figure out how to make AI part of my newsletter workflow. Because it reads like an op-ed, like it's an opinion piece. So yeah. I've yet to see AI be good at writing opinion pieces. You know, I'm sure it will be at some point. And then at that point, you know, the editor-in-chief metaphor that we've been using here just becomes even more real. Like you've just become an editor. So, you know, it'll be interesting when that happens. But yeah, it's fun that's still my one piece of thing. I'm like, I want this to be the thing that I hold on to the longest, and eventually, maybe it'll be absorbed into AI, but this is the one thing I really care about.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I think it can be helpful, and I've experimented with it, more for the research side of just kind of validating, okay, when were companies formed or whatever, or what are the three points between these different companies and things and competitors. And so just sort of more research and validation on some of those things it's helpful for, but yeah, ultimately, there needs to be insights, and it needs to, I think, be human insights, at this point. And you're right, it needs to read a letter, too. So there's a lot of things that AI is not great at this point.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that provides a good framework for people of not necessarily the ecosystem that they should set up, but an ecosystem that works well, for Muni, a B2B SaaS product, you know, that like that specializes in, you know, conversion sort of like marketing. So kind of like along those same lines, though, you talked about, you know, developing a concept and a format for Customer Camp and then taking some of those learnings, doing the same thing for Mutiny. So what were kind of like some of the big insights? I feel like I know from reading the newsletter, you know, some of the things that have been really valuable. But what were some of the unlocks in terms of, as this newsletter has evolved on the content side, how you thought about the concept behind the newsletter and what types of content people were really drawn to?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I used when designing the Mutiny newsletter that I learned from Demand Curve and from Customer Camp was to create sections within the newsletter and make them very obvious. And, you know, you can use, in ours, it's a purple line that goes across the page, and then there's a new header below it. So it's very obvious that now we're talking about something new. It reads kind of like a newspaper where you've got headline and then there's a hard stop. And it's like, oh, you want to read more? Go to page 3. But in this case, it's a hyperlink, right? So you give them like most of the story in that first chunk. You give them 80% of the story on the front page of the newsletter so that they start reading instead of like, oh, well, they want me to read the whole newsletter or the whole article. I don't care. I just want to read the headlines. Treat it like a newsletter, treat it like a newspaper. Put everything up front. Don't bury the lead. And then also you have the ability to create those sections and evolve them over time, but try to keep it consistent enough for at least, you know, a couple months however often you publish, do it for at least like 5 or 6 editions, keeping the format the same. That creates the habits of your readers of knowing where things are within the email. Our email is like really long. I don't try and jam it all into like just above the fold. So it's just, you know, like a couple hundred words. Like, I think it's probably the longest thing. It's the most writing I do at our company all week. So like if I were to guess, it would probably be about 1,000 words. So like, you know, a pretty standard blog size, but it's all in an email. But within that 1,000 words, you know, there's 6 stories I told you about. One of them being like the headline story, which takes up the majority of it. But then I can call out, you know, events we're doing, but instead of just linking to it and saying, and here's all the events we're doing, it's like, give it a hook. Why should someone even go to this event? So be very purposeful in how you present links, if you're going to, of making it, tell them why they should even click it, so they get all the information before having to click it. Put stuff in the same order so that they know where the thing is within the newsletter. So if they don't care about one section, they can just scroll to the thing that they care about. And then the last one that I think is just a pretty fun way of doing is make the bottom, you know, right at the end, you know, you sign, the way I do it is like I finish the reoccurring blog or the reoccurring sections. And then I sign it off saying like, you know, happy growing, signed off Stuart Hillhouse. So like it comes from me, which is why people at conferences, you know, recognize the name, which is pretty cool. And then below that, then that's like all the classifieds almost. I treat it like, it's like, that's just like the index. I dump everything else that like didn't make sense to go in the top, gets put at the bottom. You could call this like, you know, the PSs kind of thing. That's like a classic email tactic. But that's where I put like, hey, what is Mutiny? Do you remember what Mutiny is? And there's a little CTA at the bottom being like, take a virtual demo. If you don't even remember signing up for this newsletter, come on and like refresh yourself with what Mutiny actually does. Oh, also Mutiny's hiring. Here's a bunch of open roles we have. Oh, also, if you're still reading, you're definitely the kind of people we want in our community. Oh, and also like, here's a meme. And so we like put all the fun stuff at the bottom that would seemingly like if you were to think about it, if you're, you know, a SaaS company and you're trying to get people to take your virtual demo or apply for a job or join your community, the traditional thinking would be to let's put all that at the top because that's what we want people to like do. Like, no, but that's not what we're doing here. We want people to trust us and care about us and open these at enough times in a row that they actually finally read to the bottom and they're like, yeah, of course I'm going to check out the community because like I've read 5 of these in a row and I like all of them. So let's find out more about it. So yeah, just creating these like anchor points within your newsletter, especially if it's a long one that people can like come back to and it has enough repetition that they're like, I feel comfortable coming back because I know exactly what I'm going to get in this section. What I would recommend you don't do is trick people by building that trust and saying, you know, here are the sections, here's whatnot. And then like turning it into maybe an ad placement or something like that. Like, I think you should be pretty transparent if you're running any type of paid promotion. We don't. We just do sort of like unpaid partnerships. But same thing is like, it just kind of, it reads organically, but it's very, you know, it's like, we are partnering with, and you just call it out versus kind of like being sneaky about it. So yeah, that's sort of how I think about the format is make it read like a newspaper where people can jump around. It's not like totally linear, but it has reoccurring sections. So people build familiarity with it.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think of when Microsoft like got rid of their search bar, right? And everyone like freaked out. They're like, including me, everyone's like, where is this? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And so like to make that drastic of a change, you know, like you're going to make people mad, and especially for content, like the point is like for them to read it and like understand it and even like be able to skim it, right? And so having that repetition and having you know, people like knowing what to expect like from each newsletter is important. I also think about things like careers being in the bottom of a website anyways, right? Like we just expect that to be in the footer. If it's like, if it's not in the header, like you're gonna find it in the footer, and people just know to look for that now. So if you kind of like can create that same thing within the content, it's similar to like how you think about, you know, UX for a product, right?
I'll say I didn't give it that much thought, but I'm glad it checks out.
It does. I mean, you could have fooled me. So the other thing was like the format or like the concept specifically for Mutiny. So when we go back to the ecosystem that you're talking about of getting closer to customers, like how does this help with revenue for Mutiny, right? And so I think about like when I read your newsletter about how much actionable advice and like playbooks that you put in there, right? And so I think there's been like a good playbook strategy of, you talked about your customers telling you guys how to use the product because there's so many different ways to use the product. And so kind of like using their creativity and telling their stories to basically contextualize. I've like loved this like concept of like just contextual content as being very valuable for B2B SaaS, right? Of like, that's like the type of stuff that sells and is impactful, because it's one, the best type of B2B content I think is educational, informative, like helps me be better at my job, helps me make more money, right? Like the basic desires that like everybody wants, it's that. But then it helps Mutiny because it's like, well, by the way, like we can help you do all these things. Like you can just plug and play like with these templates essentially, right? So talk a little bit about that strategy and why leaning into playbooks made sense given the type of company that Mutiny was and like the type of data and stories that you could tell.
No, I mean, you pretty much touched on the whole thing. Like, it's not, we don't try and hide what's going on. It's real people showing exactly how they accomplished something and explaining what the problem was, explaining what their hypothesis was, and like, if we do this, what's going to happen? And then showing the steps of how they actually executed that. Only, like, sometimes it's as simple as like just doing this one little thing and you don't need Mutiny for it. But then other times there's these big swings that people wanted to take, and they were only able to take that because they had Mutiny and the flexibility that allows them to create experiences on their website. And so just telling those stories and then showing the results with actual numbers of like, yes, you as a one person marketing team can have this amount of impact on your pipeline by doing this, the thing we just showed you. You want to try it? Go for it. Like, we just gave you the instructions in the playbook. If you want to do it really quickly and effectively, every single week, you know, become a Mutiny customer and you can do that. And so the reason why I think people are really willing to share these stories, and the reason why I think it resonates with people, is because it's not dressed up like the one hack you can, or like the one, do this one thing and your company will, you know, make $1 million. It's like, no, these are incremental little improvements that every person can make that over time will compound and create a really big impact if done consistently, and you just got to keep doing stuff. There is like one kind of concept that I'm really loving right now that I heard from Pep Lai. I was sort of the first person who kind of brought it to my attention. And now it's sort of like the motive that behind like all of our marketing is like 30% of your time should be spent doing the obvious stuff. It's like, yeah, of course we should be A/B testing. Of course we should be doing content. Of course we should be running some type of ads. Of course we should be having like customer interviews. Like these are just like yes and things, 70% of your time should be like taking epic swings. Because we're all like, we might not be in these roles forever. These companies might not be around forever. We're just trying to do like the best job we can with the current resources and time we have. Why not just go big? And that's where 70% of your time should be spent, is like taking these big swings. And so when we see Mutiny customers using our product to take a really big swing, we just want to celebrate that and share it, because that's the kind of marketing I think people should be doing, instead of just like, yeah, okay, well, just like, you know, chug along here and do continuous improvement. It's like, you can do continuous improvement and take massive swings at the same time, and they actually do work well hand in hand. So that's the sort of stuff that gets me excited. And then it makes writing the newsletter and sharing it with the ecosystem that much easier, because it's like, oh my God, this is such a great story. There's a human side. There's like, it's got all the story elements. It's got a hero. It's got a challenge. It's got things we overcame. It's got the whole like journey. And then, you know, the triumph at the end, and like, oh, there's more, but wait, there's more. So it makes it for really great content repurposing. And our audience really enjoys reading them, and our customers and partners are really eager to like contribute to them. So it becomes a nice sort of a content format there as well.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to what you said of like content evangelizing your point of view, right? So ultimately, like, it should be tied back to strategy. It should be tied back to, what are we trying to do here? Like, what do we believe in? And it's both like the style of story that you tell, the type of story that you tell, and, you know, how we think that we're best, you know, positioned to help our audience, to help our customers, right? All right. So we talked a lot about the format of the newsletter, the content of the newsletter, the elements to make a good newsletter, why you should do this in the first place. So how do you distribute this, right? Like, how do you get the ball rolling, which is really, I think, for most people, like the hardest part of marketing. I think for content marketers, it's like, we understand how to tell a story. We understand like some of those elements, but it's like, how do we get this in front of people, right? Like, how do we convince people that it's good when they've only ever read like bad B2B content, right? Or at least like it's, you know, far and few between, right? So let's just talk about like some of the tactics and like strategies that you used, and I can chime in with like some learnings that like I've had from Pure Signal too. But first I wanted to talk through like, how did you think about launching this newsletter?
I mean, I kind of had the advantage that it already existed and lived quietly by itself. So I didn't need to do any of the infrastructure to like get it set up. But our tech stack for this newsletter is nothing special. It's just HubSpot. It's just like built into our CRM, and we just have a list. And I created a template within HubSpot, and I just duplicate it every week, delete what I wrote last week, and write the new stuff. So it really doesn't matter about what tech you use, in my opinion. Just getting started is sort of the best way. And then, you know, you can port it from whatever email service provider or newsletter specific tech when you want to. It's all free, and like there's very low barrier entry of just moving it back and forth whenever you want to. So I would say just get started. And when you have a feature or like thing you really are gung-ho on like launching, like, for example, I know that I should have a referral program. I just haven't done it yet. So I know I will, and I will probably need to incorporate some type of tech to do that. But like, that hasn't been a priority. The priority is getting it to a point where people like reading it enough, and I have the data to prove it, that I have people like saying, please sign up my friend for this newsletter, or please, like, how do I get on this newsletter? Like, those are signals that like you need to improve your, you know, tech and your user experience. But if you don't have those signals, like, don't worry about it. Just worry on making the content better, I'd say. For distribution, in terms of like getting subscribers, some of the tactics you probably see on like Twitter and LinkedIn, where someone will have like a big long thread or like a whole bunch of like ideas they like compile, and at the bottom it says, if you like these, make sure you sign up for my newsletter. Go for it. Give it a try. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, you're better off just doing it than not. The thing with a company newsletter is people are far less likely to sign up for it, because it's a company versus an individual, or even just like a concept like The Hustle. Like, it's just, you know, it's a concept. It's not a company. It's a concept of content. So, you know, you're already kind of starting from a disadvantage. So I would say, you know, the best way to just get a distribution out there and get people to know about your newsletter is by, you know, linking it in your LinkedIn posts, where it's like, you can build a little FOMO. You can say like, oh, you know, 25,000 people are going to get first access to this piece of content when it comes out tomorrow. Want to get it first thing? You know, join the newsletter. You know, you can kind of do some of these promotional tactics. But one thing I would say that would be sort of the best thing you can do early on that over time will just have huge growth advantages is work with your growth team or your web team or whoever in your marketing or product org kind of owns the flow of your CRM of like, as you join the list, what happens, and work with them to incorporate the newsletter as like an opt-in or a CTA within the opt-in flow. Cause then as you're getting new leads, you're also asking them, do you also want to, you know, join this really cool newsletter thing we do? Chances are if you just, that's where you need to do some good copywriting. You can't just say, oh, and do you want to join our newsletter? No, I don't care. I don't even want to buy your product yet. I just, you know, I'm just giving you my email. Do some creative copywriting, build it into like an email flow where it's like, opt in for these reasons, or like, check out all this awesome stuff that you're missing. Do you want to opt into it? And create that like kind of two opt-in thing, because you want to make sure that people are like gung-ho for it. There's no sense having a really big list that has terrible open rates. You prefer to have an email hygiene to keep those open rates high and increase your deliverability and all that. So I'd say that would be sort of the thing that I would focus on and has been sort of the main driver of ours, is tying it to the onboard, the lead process. And, you know, so you can also do sort of smaller things on social to try and drive traffic. But I'd say that that would be the number one.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I think it's like a very like, depending on how big your company is, it's either overused or like underused, like the opt-ins, right? Because it can get complicated with like, I don't know, five different checks of like, do you want to opt into this and this and this? But making that like a good practice of like, if you create good content, if you like believe in the content, right? Then it's like, why not give this to more people, right? Especially like people that are somewhat interested in the product, like they're farther down, like than the people that are like tentatively raising their hands, like, yeah, I'll listen to like whatever you have to say. I'll give you a chance. Yeah. You know what I mean? So if there's already people that are interested in the product and you write good content, it's like, there's a pretty good chance that like you're going to stay on that list. And so make sense, yeah, sort of opt them in. So
yeah.
There's some logistical things. Work with a growth marketer or a lifecycle marketer to just like get the tech right and like get some of the easy swings, like the 30% basically that you're talking about, the things that you should just be doing.
Just and do then, it. And then you can take big swings where it's like, I'd say another great way to get newsletter opt-ins is like events, is to do a big virtual summit and make the sign up form, you know, opt in to your newsletter kind of thing. Or in the follow-up, say, thanks for coming, opt into the newsletter. That would be a big swing that you can take. So there's like, yeah, the 30% of like, of course you should have it on your website. Of course you should be sharing on social. Of course you can have it in the footer of your like sales reps. It's like, join our newsletter, little link there. But then the big swings is where the actual like spikes happen, and you can see those step changes in subscriber numbers.
Nice. What were some of the big swings that worked well for Mutiny to get you from, I think you mentioned 1,000 or 2,000 to, I think you guys are at 25,000+, right, as far as newsletter subscribers. And we've seen that too, like at Peer Signal, where it's like, you are, if you're consistent, you're just going to like consistently, you know, get some subscribers. But on top of that, you know, we'll have offers, right? Like we'll do a big report, like we'll do something that people really want to get that extra content, like whether it's like a spreadsheet or a PowerPoint or some sort of report. There's like an extra offer in there that like helps with the big swings and like the big like 1,000 subscribers like in a day type thing. So
yeah.
what were some of those for you guys?
We did a holiday campaign right around in December, right before everyone kind of would go for holiday, where we did something every day. Like there was sort of an offer every day. It was kind of branded as like 5 days of conversion. And that was great. You know, some of them, one was an event, one was a piece of content, one was like a co-branded thing, one was like an organic social sort of takeover where we had all our partners and internal people share this rap video that our buddy Ding made for us. And, you know, so that was like within those 5 days, we probably added a couple thousand people because it was just out there. And like, there was a big prize giveaway at the end where we'd fly you plus one to Florida to meet us at our offsite. And so like the winner of that did all the things. They invited a whole bunch of people onto our email list. They like posted on social. They were really excited. They joined the community. Like they did all the things. And so, you know, it made sense to, there were a bunch of people who did that. And so it adds up over time. And so that holiday one was fun. I think trying one thing a quarter is sort of like the best way to think about it, of like creating this cadence within your marketing of like, there's the always on stuff. That's the newsletter. That's events. Like those just happen. You just have them all the time. And then there's the big swings and you plan and you have to put effort towards these and try and do one every quarter is sort of our goal. And so, you know, we've been doing that for the last, you know, year and a half since I've been there. And the size just keeps going as we figure out these new mechanisms that work and we just try and skin it in different ways.
Yeah, I like that because I've kind of had that in the back of my head too, of just like one, because it's manageable. It's like one per quarter. Like you can do that. You can like find the time to take like at least one big swing per quarter. And it makes a huge difference. Like it could be like, you know, the other half of the goal that you need to like make up from this one project. And it's memorable and like people will bring it up later, right? So yeah, I think
it built a brand, even if that wasn't your goal. I heard this talk recently with Andrew Davies, the CMO at Paddle, and they did a campaign where they literally launched a piece, like a rocket into space, and it like orbited the Earth for a little bit, and they processed a payment from space. And so the campaign was built around, we can process payments in every continent, including space. You know, so it had a good hook, and it had like, it was flashy because, you know, they had cameras and set up. Didn't cost very much. Like, you know, they were able to find someone who can do it for pretty cheap and they had all this content around it. But it wasn't just like a brand moment. It was like there was a hook, there was a positioning piece to it. There was also an account-based marketing side of it where they flew up a whole bunch of pieces of swag in that capsule, the like branded swag, and then they sent it to their target accounts once it returned to Earth, saying, hey, this t-shirt's been sent to space, but we wanted it for you, kind of thing. So there was like a whole ABM play, brand play, content play, like camp or category play, all in one. And the kind of the thesis of his thing is like, it should not be one or the other. It's all of them. So when you're thinking of that big swing, go through all your channels and figure out a way to make them all say the same thing for the same week. And that's how you do a big swing. And maybe one of them doesn't do great. Maybe organic fizzles, but because you did an ABM component to it, that one deal you got paid for the entire campaign. And so it comes out in the positive.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect way to kind of like wrap this up. Of first thing I thought was like one Red Bull campaign per per quarter. But yeah, more specifically to B2B is like one high leverage campaign or high leverage activity like per quarter that everyone's like involved in. And it's not just it's not a one-off because it's not one channel. It's just like one thing that we're all rallying around and we can get multiple things out of. Like those are the types of swings that you're talking about, right? When you to bring this into like a sports analogy, like when we're talking about swings, right? Like a home run gets like, it's ideally like it's a loaded bases, right? So yeah. You bring like everybody home. It's like four instead of like the one run, right? So
yeah, totally.
So thinking about that in terms of channels and marketing and all of that, to end on a very corny note. I've been watching a lot of playoffs. Okay, well, yeah, this was great. I just wanted to ask, like, if there was anything that we haven't touched on yet, they just, like, really wanted to make sure that people knew about, you know, growing a B2B SaaS email list, how to make a good newsletter, anything that we haven't covered.
Yeah, I think the biggest advice I have as you get started is to... And this is advice I've heard from other, like, content people, where instead of trying to make stuff for everyone, think of like one person that you're writing that newsletter for and like pretend like you're writing a letter to them. I think that's the best tone you can take with a newsletter is I'm actually thinking of like this. If I got rid of all the branding and instead of doing a dynamic insertion of your first name, it just said, hey, Camille. And then I started writing, like it should read the same as a personal email to you. So I'd say that would be my number one tip for anyone who's like the content writer on a newsletter is if you were to strip away all the branding and get rid of all the tech, and this was just an email you were sending to someone you were friendly enough with who you respected and wanted them to like read it, does it still read the same way? And if yes, hit send. Doesn't matter if it's going to 50 people or 50,000. And if you're like, this is kind of cheesy, like this is more promotional than it needs to be, then go back and change that section.
Nice. That's a good check. That's a good tip for folks. And then how can people find you?
I'm most active on LinkedIn. So definitely hit me up on LinkedIn, Stuart Hillhouse. And that's where you'll see all the stuff we got going on. And if you want to subscribe to Mutiny's newsletter as well, that would be a great way to sort of see all this in practice. You can subscribe at Mutiny. That's MutinyHQ.com/subscribe. And yeah, would love to have you there. And that if you're listening to this and you end up subscribing, make sure you reply to the newsletter because I'll get it right in my inbox and we can start a conversation there.
Nice. Well, Stuart, thank you for going long here and going deep on all of these concepts. I learned a lot.
Awesome, Camille. Thanks so much. This is fun. It's always fun to download all the stuff that I think about all the time, all day, every day, but don't get to say it loud very often. So it's just nice as well.
Thanks for listening to Content Logistics. This episode was produced by Motion, a done-for-you B2B podcasting agency for busy marketers. If you liked what you heard, please follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.